All right, please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 119, verses 41 through 48. Psalm 119, 41 through 48. Now remember, the book of Psalms is a collection of praises to God. And these praises would have been put to music and sung as songs of worship to the Lord by the lovers of the Lord. The main theme of Psalm 119 is the Word of God, but as we know, the center of the psalm is the God of the Word. That's what it's all pointing to. That's what this is really about. Psalm 119 is an interesting psalm because it's an acrostic of the Hebrew alphabet. And because there are 22 Hebrew letters, that means that there are 22 stanzas in this psalm consisting of 8 verses for each stanza. Last time we looked at the H stanza, or in the Hebrew, the He stanza. And today we're looking at the W stanza, or in the Hebrew, the Wav stanza, which means that the first Hebrew letter in each verse of this W stanza, verses 41 through 48, begins with the Hebrew letter W. So if you want to learn the Hebrew alphabet, just follow the psalm. Aleph, Beth, Gimel, Daleth, He, and now Wav. Verse 41, let's go ahead and take a look at what it says. Verse 41, let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love. And I will meditate on your statutes. Now, as we look at this stanza in Psalm 119, what really jumps out to me is at the end, where the psalmist repeats that phrase, which I love. He says that twice. Look at that, verse 47, I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. And then verse 48, my hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love. What do you think? You think he loves the commandments of God? He loves them, and it's as if he can't contain himself when it comes to his love for the commandments of God, for the word of God. Now again, here the psalmist speaks of God's commandments, but he could have used a number of different words to describe the same thing. He could have used the word, verse 41, ordinances, verse 43, law, verse 44, precepts, verse 45, or statutes, verse 48. He's talking about the same thing. And these are all synonyms for the word of God that the psalmist had access to at this point. Now for him, this is speaking about the first 5 books of the Old Testament, the law of God, the Torah, the Pentateuch, that's it. But for us today, this applies to the whole of the Word of God, the Old Testament, the New Testament, the law, the prophets, the poetic books, the Gospels, Acts, the epistles, all of it. Think about it. If the psalmist, think about this, if the psalmist loved the first 5 books of the Bible so very much, then how much more us today who have the completed Word of God at our ready disposal? I love the Word of God. Do you love it? Do you love it? Why should we love it? Because we love the God who wrote it. Because it reveals our good God to us. Because it shows us how to glorify Him, which is our heart's desire as believers. Because it gives us the truth that points us to heaven. Shouldn't we love God's book that He's given to us? If we love Him, we're going to love His Word. Very clearly, if we love Him, we're going to love His Word. How precious is the book divine by inspiration given. Bright as a lamp, its doctrines shine to guide our souls to heaven. And because this book comes down from heaven and leads us to heaven, shouldn't we then love the Word of God? Anyone? Hello? Right? Then I say read it. Then study it. Then eat it up and drink it in. And yet, how many Christians neglect the Word of God. How many Christians neglect it? They say they love it. They say they love Him. But their actions prove otherwise. As Charles Spurgeon said, there's enough dust on some of your Bibles to write damnation with your fingers. I didn't say that. Spurgeon said it. What about you, though? I mean, that's the issue, right? See, how you treat your Bible really reveals how you feel about the God who wrote it. It reveals a lot. Those who love God love His book, and that only makes sense. Why should we love this book? The psalmist gives us six reasons. Look, first, he says, your word shows me mercy and salvation. That's why we should love it. Verse 41, let your mercies come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. Now, what's the psalmist saying here? Well, the word mercy is the Hebrew word hesed, and it speaks of the loving kindness of God for His people. This word really is an intense word, and it speaks of a love that won't let go, a love that loves regardless of what it gets in return, a love that is steady, persistent, and undeserving. God's love for us, His people. The word salvation speaks of deliverance, of being saved, of being rescued. And here we find the psalmist praying for God's mercy and salvation to come to him. Note that he already knows the Lord. He already loves the Lord. He's already speaking as a saved man. He's already experienced the saving love of God Almighty that has reached down to him and rescued him from eternal wrath by grace through faith, as revealed to us in God's Word. He knows that fully. So what then is he saying here? This. What he's praying for is this. God's gracious help, deliverance in the midst of a very hard place. That's what he's asking. See, he's dealing with a trial. He's facing some persecution. He's facing great hardship in his life as a believer. And here he's seeking God's sustaining mercy and deliverance out of that hard place. And the way he's going to find that is in the Word of God. In the Word of God. Hey, when you're in a hard place, anybody here ever been in a hard place? You ever struggled? Anybody? You ever had worries and fears and faced trials and pains? Anybody? Only one? Anybody else? Okay, right? That's us. That's our lives. And when you're there, when life is beating you down, when people are harassing you, that's a great time to go to the Word of God, because there's strength there. There's encouragement there. There's hope found there. There's divine comfort in the Word of God. So here's the prayer. As one said, Lord, thine enemies come to me to reproach me. Let your mercies come and defend me. Trials and troubles abound, and labors and sufferings, not a few, approach me. Lord, let thy mercies in great number enter by the same gate and at the same hour, for art thou not the God of my mercy? And the answer is yes, he is. And it's His Word that's going to reveal those mercies to us. His Word will give us the right perspective on things so that we can endure and overcome when we're in a hard place. Look, God is faithful. His Word tells us that, and we know that. God loves me. God is for me, His child. God will help me. God will walk me through this. God will strengthen me. God will never leave me. God knows what He's doing with me. I can trust my God. He loved me enough to save my soul. He will help me through this trial. His Word says, God is good to me. And the Word reminds us of all of these amazing truths. Good thing. Because you know what? I get sidetracked quite quickly, and I need to be reminded quite often. How will I be reminded? Go to the Word of God. Second, I love God's commands because Psalmist says, I have an answer in God's Word, verse 42. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your Word. So look, when you're reproached, when you're hated, when you're attacked, when you're derided, go to the Word of God, because it's there that you will learn how to respond properly. Now, what do you learn? Well, first, when you're being reproached, God's Word is a thing that's going to strengthen you and help you to be faithful in the midst of that trial. Also, when you're being reproached, God's word is going to give you examples of others who have been reproached and who were godly in the midst of it, and they'll give you strength, great strength, to be like them. If they can endure, so can you as a child of God. David, in the prison, faithfully trusting the Lord. I need that encouragement. Daniel, in the lion's den, faithful and fearless. I need that encouragement. Jeremiah, in the stocks, praying to God and not reviling in return. I need that encouragement from Jeremiah. Jesus on the cross, so he did not open his mouth. I need to learn from him. If he can do that in the midst of death, surely I can endure for his glory. Pray for those who persecute you. I need to be reminded of that. Turn the other cheek. I need that reminder. Don't revile back. Be godly in the midst of it. Be gentle. Be holy. Exalt the Lord. Remain faithful. God's word will show all of these things to us. How should I respond to those who accuse me? Go to the word of God. The answers are there, see. The answers are there. Flee to the word when you're in trouble. That's what the psalmist is saying. And may I add, flee to the word when you're not in trouble. Always flee to the word of God. Third, I'm lost without you. That's how I chose to title this. Verse 43, take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. Here's the idea. For me to keep God's word, then I must continually hope in God's word. I must be consumed with it. I must read it and take it in and ingest it into my heart and into my life, because that's where my strength is. And if I don't do that, then I'm going to fail and I'm going to falter. So without the word really consuming me and really controlling me, I will fail, and I don't want to fail. So I need to grab a hold of that so I can be strong, because there's power in the word of God. His spirit works mightily through the word of God. Look, it's well known that when persecution threatens, that many cower under that persecution. It's well known. Many don't, but many do. Either they altogether deny the truth, or else they weakly and lukewarmly confess it. And the psalmist doesn't want that to ever happen to him. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, he says. The prayer is this: to always confess the truth boldly, for the glory of God. And it's his word that's going to strengthen me. Lord, I don't want to cower under the pressure. Lord, I don't want to give in to temptation when it comes. Lord, I don't want to waver. Lord, I don't want to compromise. And the way you're going to be strong is by hoping in his statutes. In other words, by them capturing your heart, by you loving God's word, by you taking in God's truth. If not, you'll certainly waver. Undoubtedly. You want to waver? When persecution comes, you want to play the coward? Persecution in the second century was a very harsh reality. Many Christians died for their faith, and many others were maimed because of their faith. So picture this. Persecution swept through a town. Many Christians held strong to their confession for the glory of God, and they paid a heavy price for their faithfulness. Some were killed right off the bat. Others weren't killed, but they were maimed, and they were tortured, and they were disfigured. But still others simply denounced Christ, and they got off the hook. Nothing happened to them. Well, the persecution ends, and then the church comes back together. And what do you have then? What do you have? You have the compromisers along with the people who are missing limbs or whose bodies have been scarred beyond measure because they were seared with hot irons or been dipped in hot oil. And how do you think that went when the church came back together? Come on, no true Christian wants to play the coward, even if it means he escapes torture. Don't we love God more than that? Right? How do you think those compromising Christians felt after giving in? Not good, that's for sure. No Christian who loves the Lord wants to waver when the time comes to take a stand. And that's what the psalmist is praying for. So how is he going to be strong? The word of God, which is living and active and powerful. The word that convicts and that comforts. The word that leads me in the way that I should go. And when I put my hope in the word, when I am stayed on the word, when I am in the word, when the word is my confidence and my delight, I will then be strong and I won't falter and I won't get lost when the hard times come. See, application, dive into the word of God, which helps you to remain true to the God of the word. The fourth reason we should love God's word is because it's my strength. Verse 44, so shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. So question, how are you going to be able to keep the word forever? How will we be able to obey God faithfully to the end? How will I be able to honor God to the very end and to finish this race with strength and with vigor and with power? By binding my heart firmly to the word today, right here, right now. By digging in my roots right now. By daily nourishing myself in the word of God daily, right? See, I want to be faithful to the Lord to my dying breath. Anyone? Right? I want to be faithful to my dying breath. I want to spend and be spent for His glory until I kiss this world goodbye. I want to redeem the time to the very last second for Him. And the way that I'm going to do that is by digging my roots into God's Word right now, praying and staying true to His Word. I don't want to fizzle out. I don't want to waver. I don't want to shrink back. I don't want to give Christ ever a bad name. Therefore, I must stay my hope in the Word, and I must continue to let God's Word be my source of nourishment, or else wavering undoubtedly is going to become my reality. God's Word makes me strong. So I must be a man of the book. You too. Fifth, I love His commandments because when I seek His precepts, I walk at liberty, verse 45. Now, what does that mean? Walking in liberty means that you're no longer bound. And it's a great picture. It speaks of a joyful journey where we're no longer slaves to sin and to the wicked one, but rather we are now free to honor and please the Lord. Look, because we are saved by grace through faith by a good and gracious God, the chains that once bound us have been broken. Amen? They've been broken. Sin no longer condemns us in Christ. And look, heaven is the Christian's eternal reality. That frees us up a bit, don't you think, to live for the glory of God? That frees us up. We don't have to try to earn something that's impossible to earn. Unlike the many false religions out there, we are saved by grace and we do what we do because it pleases and honors our good God. We do what we do because we want to. We do what we do because it's our pleasure to. We do what we do because we're compelled by love to Him to do it. And it's a joy to serve Him. It's an honor. It's a delight. It's a privilege. In the early church, the Pharisees and the Judaizers basically said that you needed to work your way to heaven by doing good works, or at least the works that they deemed were good, and by following their own man-made rules and regulations. As we know, as we've seen in Mark, it's a lie, right? It's a lie. You know what it did? It bound people up and it condemned them. They're trying to earn heaven, which is impossible. You can't work your way to heaven. We're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Pharisees were trying to work their way to heaven. The Bible, which shows Christ to us, clearly brings freedom from man-made chains like that and from the chains of the wicked one who once bound us up. And God's word is truth, and it tells us that Jesus frees us from all those things, and now we do what we do out of joy, out of love. And because it's our delight to do it for the glory of the God that we love. And the more you're in the Word, the Word, the more clear that becomes. The more you're really in the Word, head, heart, and life, the more you love the Lord because you understand these amazing truths in growing measure. So the psalmist says, I shall walk, indicating his daily progress through life, at liberty, as one who is out of prison. Unimpeded by adversaries, unencumbered by burdens, unshackled, allowed a wide range, and roaming without fear as I seek to honor my Lord. Look, he's already given me heaven, and now I get to please Him with my time here until He takes me home. And oh, what a joy it is. See? God's Word shows this to us. God's Word reminds us of this. Six, I will not be ashamed. Verse 46, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and I will not be ashamed. In other words, God's word gives me courage. It gives me strength. It makes me bold. It makes me strong. And for the psalmist, because he's a man of the word, he is now free from the fear of the greatest, proudest, and cruelest of men. And because I'm steeped in God's word, I'm able to stand against kings who even oppose me and accuse me and threaten me. Isn't that good? He's bold. See, God's word has gone in through my eyes. It's gone into my head. It's gone into my heart. It's taken up residence there. And now it'll come out of my mouth even when it comes with a price. I will not be silent. I will speak up. I will be bold. I won't give in. And the courage to do that comes from the word of God. Like Jeremiah said, God's word is in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I can't keep quiet. It makes us bold, see? God's word helps us be strong. It's our spiritual sword, and it gives us courage to continue to walk boldly ahead for the glory of God. And woe to you if you're not in the word of God regularly and passionately. Woe to you, you spiritual weakling. You don't want to be a weakling, do you, spiritually? Woe to you. Isn't it time to build up your strength for what lies ahead? These are serious times. We need to be strong, which means we need to be in the Word of God. Lord, help us. So what do I do in light of all this? I love Him, and therefore I love His Word, and I have some great reasons to love His Word today. What do I do? Six quick things found in this stanza. First, I trust. I trust in Your Word, verse 42. That's what you do. In other words, I put my confidence there because it's from the mouth of the one who loves and saves me. He's never lied to me. He's never misled me. He's never misguided me. He's always been good to me. And I can trust Him with my soul. Therefore, I can trust what He says to me in His perfect word. And so I trust it. I trust every word of it. It's perfect. It's inerrant. It's my rule for living because it's from His mouth. So that's now my standard. That's my light for my path. That's my guide. That's my lighthouse because I can trust it. Because it comes from Him. Second reaction, I hope in Your ordinances, verse 43, I hope. Hope means to look forward to with desire and with reasonable confidence. And if there's anything to hope in, it's the Word of God because those words are ironclad, the Word of God. Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in His Word I do hope. Well, this is good because our hope is sure. Our hope is certain. Our hope is our reality. God's word tells us that while we are sinners, Jesus came and died on a cross to rescue all who believe from eternal wrath. Ironclad hope here. God's word tells us that we in Christ are going to heaven and we have an eternal inheritance waiting for us there forever. An ironclad hope here. God's word tells us that for those who believe, the best is yet to come. That's ironclad. God's word tells us that we are forgiven by a good and gracious God, that we are clean right now, that He's working all this out for our eternal good, that God loves us more than we could ever think or imagine, and soon we're going to be home with Him forever. That's ironclad. Rest your hope on the truth of God's word, the true word that gives us many great promises that will soon belong to us, and have confidence in what God tells you. Is that your confidence? Third reaction, I keep Your law. I love that, verse 44. See, it's not about taking it in only, but we take in the Word of God for a purpose of keeping it, of doing it for the glory of God. No preacher or teacher of the Bible preaches to give people a mere head knowledge. No way. No way. We do it so that it will go into our head, into the heart, and then express itself with godly action. Is that true of you? Do you keep it? Faith without works is dead. And our aim is to always keep the Word of God because we love Him and this is what pleases Him. We're not hypocrites, right? We're not like demons, right? Who believe but don't do. No, I keep it. I keep it. Do you keep it? Fourth reaction. I seek Your precepts, verse 45. I love the picture of a seeker. The picture of someone who's just enthralled with God's word and who's just looking and scanning and seeking, earnestly pursuing to find more. I love Him so much, I just want to know Him better. So what do? I'm going to lose myself in His holy word and I'm going to mine out all He can from His word so I can then draw closer to Him. So I'm constantly seeking for him, which drives me to his word. See? Are you in the word daily? You in a Bible study? Go to faith group? You listening to godly preachers who preach the word so you can know him better? Shouldn't that be the heart of every true lover of God? Because it drives us to him. Fifth, I speak of your testimonies, verse 46. I believe, therefore I speak. And because we love God, we should then talk about our God, right? Make sense? Specifically, his testimony, specifically, his word. Is that true of you? Does the overflow of God's word in your heart reveal itself out of your lips? Do you talk more about your team than God and his love and the truths that are found in his word and eternal things, do you? If you love him, then you're freely going to talk about him. My wife, Tiffany, does this. She's teaching Hebrews right now. And as she's studying, she's getting excited. I mean, really excited. So she talks about it constantly. Melchizedek again, honey, I say. And she goes, let me tell you about him. And shouldn't it be like that? Shouldn't it be like that? You talk about that when you're in the Word of God, when your heart is open, when you're ingesting it, and when it's hitting its mark. What about you? All right, six, I meditate, verse 48. What's meditation? Meditation is simply recalling what we've committed to memory and then turning it over and over and over again in our minds to mine out the greatest implications and applications for our lives. The idea is this: God's word is powerful and effective, and it changes my life. I love it because I love him. Therefore, I'm going to read it. But after I read it, I'm going to think on it and ponder it and think on it again and glean all that I can out of it, because it's a treasure house for my soul. So, the true lover of God is the one who hungers for God so much that he or she will read God's holy word, trust in it, hope in it, keep it, seek it, speak it, and meditate on it. Why? Because you delight in it, verse 47. Or put another way, which I love. See? I love it. I love it. Delight literally means to skip around and jump for joy. And oh, that we had people who delighted in the Word of God like that today. Love speaks for itself, doesn't it? I love it. Because I love him. Come on now, who deserves our hearts more than God? Who's going to love you more than God? Who has more compassion than your God? Who has more mercy, forgiveness, and grace than your God? He alone is worthy of our heart's affections. Everything else is rubbish compared to him. It's rubbish. Do you love him? Come on, now's not a time to be shy. Do you love him? So do I. Then immerse yourself in his word that reveals more of him to you. What's better than more of him? Dive into the word. May God speak to our hearts tonight. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, to love your word because we love you. And I pray that we don't just say it, but that we do it. And that we show our love to you by being people of the book, your holy book that reveals your heart to us. May it be our light, our guide, our beacon. May we eat it up and take it in and live it out because we love you so much. Give us strength, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.